Good morning, everyone. You're listening to the World Teacher Program for Share International New Zealand on Planet FM 104.6. Each Friday morning, we bring you information from the teachers of the Ageless Wisdom. The purpose of our program is to introduce Maitreya, the world teacher for the age of Aquarius. Maitreya does not come alone. He brings with him the Masters of Wisdom, a group of highly evolved teachers. They work in many fields and can teach us the art of living, how to live in right relationship with each other. With their inspiration, we can transform our civilization, creating justice and peace for us all.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our program. Today's topic is participatory budgeting. It's an article that was published in the June 2021 issue of Share International magazine by Tiago Stibano Alves, who's a Share International volunteer living in Brazil. And the full title is Participatory Budgeting: Popular Participation in the Life of Cities. And it goes, in recent decades, the idea of bringing municipal politics closer to ordinary people has been gaining strength. There has been a growing realization among those impacted by so-called professional politicians of their need for some kind of control or participation to make their voices heard. This is of paramount importance because very often politicians distance themselves from the very people who helped them to power. This distance is particularly damaging to the most vulnerable sectors of society, which end up being forgotten in the so-called political game that dominates most of the city councils and city halls. The voice of the people is making itself heard in the corridors of power and effecting direct change. This is a trend and a movement whose time has come and which places the citizen at the hub of the decision-making process. Among the most recent forms of control and popular participation created in order to bring people closer to the political decisions of their cities is what's called the participatory budget. This idea can work and be implemented in various ways. It involves initiatives and practices that allow people access to the municipal budget of their cities, giving them the power to decide where and for which projects the money should be invested. Participatory budgeting initiatives around the world are implemented in different ways, such as the portion of the municipal budget that citizens have available to them to invest in projects they deem most appropriate, and the ways in which investment and control decisions are made, and also which groups are present in the various decision-making meetings that decide which works and areas will be given priority to receive the budget resources. Just for a brief history, the first implementation of participatory budgeting took place in the Brazilian city of Porto Alegre in the state of Rio Grande do Sul in the 1980s. It emerged as an initiative of the Workers' Party, who won the municipal elections in the city as part of the wave of re-democratization that the country was going through after getting rid of a military dictatorship that had lasted more than 20 years. At this time, debates on how to achieve a greater degree of popular participation and democracy in the country after this long period of dictatorship were very common, and participatory budgeting was one of the initiatives designed for this purpose. In the 1990s, the participatory budget initiative spread to the rest of Brazil. In 2012, there were already more than 200 municipalities that had implemented it, making it the country with the largest number of popular, in other words, citizens, budgets in the world. From Brazil, the participatory budget project has spread to other countries in Latin America, such as Argentina, Peru, Uruguay, Ecuador, and the Caribbean. In the 2000s, due to the participation of several countries in the World Social Forum, whose first sessions were held in the Brazilian city of Porto Alegre, the idea of participatory budgeting spread to the rest of the world. In Europe in 2010, there were 296 municipalities that implemented it, mainly in France, Spain, and Italy. In Africa also, by 2012, there were up to 110 participatory budgets whose implementation often was achieved with the help of international institutions. In Asia and Oceania, there are examples of participatory budgets in New Zealand, South Korea, China, and India. I must admit I don't know about the New Zealand participatory budgets. Perhaps that's worth Googling and finding out more about. Back to the article. The seat of the first participatory budgeting, Porto Alegre, Brazil, had already been the scene of other progressive initiatives in the 1980s, being one of the places in Brazil in which urban movements had most strength. With the re-democratization of the country, participatory budgeting initiatives had already been implemented in some locations in the city. But it was with the coming of the Workers' Party that the initiative expanded to a municipal scale, having been implemented for three main reasons. One, to democratize Brazilian society even further and allowing the participation of more excluded and marginalized groups within the political system. And two, to achieve the social objective of reversing priorities in the municipal budget. And three, to allocate to the most marginalized areas and suburbs more municipal funds, thus aiming to eradicate corruption and improve the efficiency of public policies. The Organisation for the Implementation of Participatory Budgeting tried, as far as possible, to keep power at the lower end or the lower level of the pyramid. To this end, assemblies were held initially in 17 regions of the cities. In these assemblies, the main projects and priorities that citizens believe to be the most important in its regions are discussed, such as paving streets, creating hospitals, schools, and basic sanitation. In order to follow up the progress of the suggestions made by the assemblies, they also elect delegates who remain in office for a maximum period of 1 year, which can be revoked at any time by the assemblies. The delegates form a council which is responsible for dialoguing with the City Hall about the participatory budgeting, including indicating investment projects and priorities. Since Assembly delegates can easily be removed from power if the Assembly feels that they are not doing their job well, there is a strong degree of social control by the population throughout the process. In addition, there are also assemblies with specific themes which go beyond the territorial limits of each region, such as assemblies on housing, infrastructure, healthcare, etc. The division of budget funds for city districts also takes into account a list of priorities that is voted on, such as the total population of a district and the precariousness of the infrastructure and services available there. Thus, the participatory budgeting in Porto Alegre has not only led to greater participation of the population in the decision-making of the municipality's budget, but has also implemented social justice mechanisms which give priority to more precarious districts. The results have been extremely successful. Initially, it led to greater political participation by traditionally excluded groups, such as low-income people. It also led to a greater participation of women in the political process, who over time became the majority in the assemblies, along with young people. The working class also increased its political participation and representation within the entire process. More disadvantaged areas of the city have gained greater investment, with the creation of residential areas for the poorest, health facilities and kindergarten schools. Slum streets have been paved, and most houses in more populous neighbourhoods have been provided with basic sanitation. It is worth mentioning that the entire process takes place with complete independence from the executive and legislative powers, leaving only the City Council the role of approving the final participatory budgeting. With the inclusion of numerous countries in the World Social Forum, the idea of participatory budgeting has spread to the rest of the world. In Europe, Spain has the most cities that implement this type of popular budget. One of the main examples is the city of Seville. Unlike Porto Alegre, where one of the main objectives of participatory budgeting was to create a greater degree of social justice in the city, in Seville and in many other European examples, the popular budget was implemented more as a way of mobilising the citizens of cities to help them have better local governments and increase the degree of civil society's empowerment. This is even reflected in the percentage of the municipal budget available to be allocated through participatory budgeting, which in the case of Seville is much lower than in Porto Alegre. Even so, a model very similar to that of the Brazilian city was implemented, with a division of the city into zones in which citizens gather in forums to participate in the debate as to where resources should be invested and in which projects. There is a limitation here on the value of the project, with any project above 30,000 euros being considered a project for the entire city and to be discussed in city councils. There is also the election of delegates who will analyse the proposals of the assemblies and decide their priorities in a very similar way to that done in Porto Alegre, also taking into account the less favoured regions. And in these less favoured regions, projects that have social, ecological and democratic aims are prioritised. Due to a certain precariousness of the democratic institutions on the African continent, participatory budgeting is normally implemented with the help of international institutions such as the UN or non-governmental organisations and other institutions. This is the case, for example, in the Senegalese city of Fissel, following a request from the Fissel Civil Society Representatives Organisation and with support of Innovations, Environment, Development, Afrique, also a non-government organisation, or NGO. The NGO helped by carrying out the technical training of village representatives who would debate their priorities and monitor their implementation. The whole process, which even helped to institute a participatory budgeting model to be implemented in other cities in the region, also gave great importance to the participation of women, young people and the elderly. That led to the political participation of groups in society that are historically more marginalised. This NGO's later experience in other cities led them to create two participatory budgeting manuals that now circulate throughout French-speaking Africa, and in an initiative that is supported by the UN Habitat program. In addition, there are several other participatory budgeting experiments in other African countries, such as Kenya, Tanzania, Uganda, and Madagascar. The experience in the Kerala region in India is one of the most impressive and unique in the world, being highly praised and recognised by a number of experts on the subject. It not only developed with little influence from the popular budget model carried out in Porto Alegre, which has become one of the main models used in the world, but it was carried out not in a municipality, but in a large region of India, with a population at the time of its implementation in 1996 of 31 million inhabitants. It emerged as the idea of young leaders of the Marxist CPI-M party and gained strength throughout the region. It consisted initially of several preliminary initiatives and campaigns carried out in the region to allow the budget to be formulated, such as the Campaign for Total Literacy and the Popular Movement for Science and the Mapping of Resources and Planning Experience. Finally, in 1996, a campaign was launched which started the budget deliberation process. And this campaign mobilised more than 10% of the inhabitants of the Kerala region, encompassing all of its 991 rural villages, 53 municipalities, 14 districts, 5 corporations and 152 block panchayats. And that's a type of local rural government. The popular budgeting process, and Porto Alegre's influence was so small that Kerala did not use the term participatory budgeting, was divided into a few stages. Initially, the creation of local assemblies, which eventually came to attract more than 2 million people. These assemblies had small working groups, and the politicians participating in them had reduced speaking time. They were aimed at attracting and involving people who were not so used to speaking publicly. Data was collected and an urban development report was produced, which served as an incentive to the debate that was held at development seminars by elected delegates. Delegates then drafted proposals and projects with their requirements and financial planning. Finally, the proposals were passed on to the district planning committees for consent. And the implementation and monitoring was carried out by citizens of the region, and they also evaluated the projects. One of the main achievements of the popular budget initiative in Kerala was the mobilisation of society in the region. The entire process involved training 50,000 locals, which led to the creation of a larger social movement, the same as had occurred in the participatory budgeting in Porto Alegre, but on a much grander scale. And that was the full article from the June 2021 issue of Share International magazine. If you'd like more information, you would probably be able to find it easy enough by Googling participatory budgeting. Now for an excerpt from an article by The Master through Benjamin Krem. As you might already know, every issue of the magazine features an article by Benjamin Krem's master. Since Mr. Krem's passing in late 2016, of course, these articles have been republished, and this is one such case. It's titled The Art of Cooperation, and it reads as follows. More and more, men are beginning to understand the severity of the problems which face them today. On all fronts, political, economic and social, these problems multiply and cause much heartache and sad shaking of heads. Add to these the environmental problems which man's cavalier attitude to nature and its resources has engendered, and the future for mankind looks bleaker still. The realisation is dawning that mankind's life is in crisis and that something radical must be done before it is too late. What indeed can man do to save himself from disaster? What steps can he take even to mitigate the threat to his well-being? The answer is relatively simple, but it would seem difficult for men to grasp, caught as they are in the net of their own conditioning. Men must release themselves from the poison of competition, must realise it for the glamour which it is, and seeing the oneness of all men, embrace cooperation for the general good. Only cooperation and justice will save men from a disaster of their own making. Cooperation and justice alone will guarantee their future. Considering that this is so, man has little option but to accept cooperation as the key to his salvation. And that is all we have time for, so thank you very much for listening. For further information, we would recommend you visit the website share-international.org and to contact us, our email address is sharenz@yahoo.com. wishing you all a lovely week.